It is extremely complicated to play this game. If you're a new player in World of Warcraft, good luck is all I'm saying. Good freaking luck.
And it became clear.
I think that Blizzard doesn't need a revamp, they need a reset. There's too many pets, too many toys, too many mounts, too many spells, too many zones, too many NPCs, too many items, too many transmogs, too many weapons, too many shields, too many.
Like, I want to get into raiding. How do I do damage as an Arcane Mage? Let's watch.
Now let's head into the single target rotation. 15 seconds before the pull, you want to expand Arcane, slowly switch to cast and procs. This part may vary based on base levels, but in general, 9 seconds before the pull, start, you want to cast evocation, so you can start stacking some storm. At 3 seconds, you want to cast root power, into Arcane Blast Precast, and Arcane War. The pull is now done, we already have 14 charges, so we're ready to start our Arcane Surge burn. However, this burn will change if you have double activated or not.
Bro, like, come on, man. Like, come on, bro. That's too much, man.
What is up, everyone? It is Tom and Scott from Bad Cuz Dad, and as you can see, we have a very special guest today. You might know him from things like Convert to Raid and Azeroth Public Radio, an OG in the WoW content scene, an absolute legend in the game. It is Coltrane. Coltrane, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. How are you doing, sir? And how's WoW been going? I know you're back into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit?
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here. I'm a huge fan of your guys' channel. Bad Cuz Dad. Like, it's fantastic. You had a great name. The content's fantastic. You guys are cranking out videos, which is not easy to do, by the way. Which is not easy to do, especially nowadays, because we're all older now. You know, we got, like, families. We got kids, you know. But it's just awesome. So I'm really honored. Thank you so much for having me on. And, yes, World of Warcraft. Still going strong, still hanging in there after all these years. I know Scott, we were talking briefly before the show, fellow vanilla player, fellow, you know, not just classic, but vanilla, right?
Vanilla.
You know, they always say, how do you know if someone played vanilla? Don't worry, they'll tell you. Like, they'll let you know, right? So, yes.
100%.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we're part of that old school OG group. So it's been great. And it's been an interesting thing as far as seeing the game and how it's changed, you know, from the beginning days, the olden days of WoW, to what we are now, you know, to how it's matured over the years, you know, for, my gosh, I can't even imagine how many years. And MMOs in general. So, but I'm still hanging in there. I'm still going strong. And our raid team, we just got AOTC last night, actually. Which
congrats, man.
Thank
that
you.
Awesome.
It was last pull magic. I'm telling you, the last pull last always, pull I'm telling it always works. You announce, all right, this is last pull. And suddenly everyone snaps into focus and we get it done. So
how many wipes was that before the last pull?
There might have been 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 thousand, maybe.
And you're healing, right? You said you're on Resto, is that right?
Yes. So I am a big believer in, because when you're playing MMOs, you're going to tend to burn out occasionally, right? You're going to kind of get tired of it. And I think this could be from all different MMOs, not just World of Warcraft. So some people just stick with their class. You know, I'm a warrior. Yeah. Like Asmongold, he's a warrior through and through. He will always be a warrior. Because he's got to go big D. Like, I get it. Like, that's badass. That's awesome. But for me, if I start to feel myself getting burned out, I like to change not just the class, but also the role. You know, if I've always been DPS, let's try healing. Let's try tanking. By the way, tanking really isn't that bad. All right? I'm telling you, man. All you do is just hold on to the boss and wait for DBM to say, taunt boss. And that's all you got to do. Then you just taunt. That's pretty much it. And come on.
You always get pops, right? You always get pops.
I'm telling you. So for you tanks, I mean, you know I'm right. It's really not that bad. really not that bad. So everyone's scared of being a tank. It's not that bad.
I've always thought healer was by far the most stressful thing to play.
Right.
Yeah. And unrivaled.
It is. It's so, I really love it because it is kind of like that whack-a-mole. You know what I mean? Like you're watching the bars, but with your peripheral vision, you got to like still pay attention to everything. Mm-hmm. Although some people find it a little bit more relaxing because you don't have to worry about crazy rotations. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about pumping those numbers.
Yeah.
And with some of these classes, some of these rotations are pretty insane. They're a little bit intense, right? You know, especially like Enhancement Shaman. Have you seen the rotation on Enhancement Shaman? Like for
male Enhancement Shaman. Yeah,
it is
a long rotation.
Well,
very long.
Yes, absolutely. But so some people find it a little bit more relaxing. There's not as much of a hardcore rotation to it. But
it took me way too long to get.
Yeah.
I was like, male? Like, is he talking about male armor?
Right.
It's like they do wear male armor, but I'm not. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. But there's something about there is that you get a little endorphin hit when somebody's health bar flashes low. And then, bam, you heal them right at the top. It's like a yeah, or like you pop some big cooldown and you see everybody's health and all the green numbers. A little endorphin release there. Sure. You know, it's kind of, it gets you pumped. It gets you excited. So I've been healing for this session, for this tier, and it's been a blast, man. It's been an absolute blast. Well, and
did you say Resto Shaman you've been playing?
Yes.
Or?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, Restoration Shaman.
I played mainly Enhancement, but nice. I did play Resto in PvE in the very little that I did here and there. And yeah, right. I just loved it. It was an engaging healer. Way more fun than the others, in my opinion.
It is. And what I love Enhancement, or just Shaman in general, because Resto is great, Enhancement is great, and then also Elemental. It's like a fireworks show. You know, it is. It's just literally fireworks. So you're just throwing meteors left and right, well, so to speak. But it's really a pretty excellent
class. You're me downloading WoW?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's good. That's good, Scott. Let's queue up tonight.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, man.
So it's been fun. And real,
if only
real
we could queue up tonight. We'll get into that, obviously. Yeah, right. But,
but it's been
very
fun.
Cool, man.
One night a week team. It's pretty casual, but it's a great group of people. And you know, there's that camaraderie. You know, when you're on a raid team and you down that boss and everybody cheers and everyone's like, great job, everyone. You know, there's like great feeling. MMOs. Which I think is different than like a single player RPG, you know, that MMO, you get that community when you all come together to defeat that boss, you know, you've accomplished this as one unit is phenomenal. And I don't think you get that kind of same rush in like a Dragon Age or something like that, or a Mass Effect. You get a different kind of feeling, but it's pretty special when you finally kill that boss, especially last pull tonight, last pull magic. I mean, come on, you know, so it's cool. It's fun.
Well, congrats on ahead of the curve. That is a cool achievement, man. I'm glad you got that this tier. That is very cool. And I guess we'll get into kind of the topic of the night. I think we all saw the Vinruki video, which kind of blew up. It was a really big video. Asmongold kind of chimed in just about the complexity of WoW and kind of how hard it is to get into today. We'll talk a little bit about new players and returning players tonight, but I guess I'll start there. I'll start with my experience with World of Warcraft. So the kind of player I've been over the years. So Scott got me into the game, of course. And so when we first got into it, of course, I played a ton, but I'm always a PvPer. So, I mean, we're grinding Arena, we're playing Battlegrounds, you know, all of that stuff. So we ran dungeons, but I never really got into the raiding scene. But after that, you know, we kind of fell out of it. And then for me, at least, I come back every major expansion, right? If there's a really big patch, I want to come back and check it out and see what's going on, you know, level my character up, do some, especially the early battlegrounds are so much fun before everybody has everything figured out. You know, I love jumping in there, you know, and so of course, Scott always makes fun of me. I feel like add-ons are actually the meta game. It's actually the real game of World of Warcraft, right? So my return story is I'll get back in. And I'll spend like 3 days straight just crafting the perfect weak auras. You know, if I'm on my Windwalker, I have to set up my hit combo where the right ability flashes in the right order. But if Rising Sun Kick and Tiger Palm are off cooldown, Rising Sun Kick's got to flash first, you know. So I got to figure out how to code all that stuff. And then after about 3 or 4 days, I mean, I'm done. I'm just exhausted. It was a great time setting up add-ons, and I left out
like a couple of the faction changes, race changes.
Wherever people are playing, you know, I spend $100 and play for like 2 weeks, you know, and get my add-ons perfect until the next time they break and I have to come back. So, that's kind of a joke, kind of true. You know, I stick around longer than that, and I do want to see the content. But that's kind of my perspective as a returning player, but... So Coltrane, I know you dipped out a little bit during Shadowlands. I know you started the expansion, it sounds like, kind of dipped out, and then you returned for Dragonflight. What was kind of your experience coming back? Because, I mean, obviously you've been around the game since its inception. So was it kind of riding a bike for you? Did you notice anything more complex out of the normal for coming back and getting into it?
Well, I think the Dragonflight, and I think part of the reason for the success of it, is it feels very much back to basics in a weird way. And I think that there was an issue. It's all because of Legion. I think we need to blame Legion. Legion is known as one of the greatest expansions in WoW's history. And I completely agree. But there's a dark side to it. And I'll tell you what that dark side is. The dark side of Legion that no one wants to talk about is artifact power. Now, here's the thing. Remember that these Blizzard developers are developing about 1 to 2 expansions in advance, right? So for Legion, they introduce artifact power, and it's a huge hit. Everyone loves it. Oh my gosh, it's artifact power. I can grind this extra power. I can get more abilities. I can unlock this. I got my cool city hall. Like, everything's amazing. They love it. So the devs are like, hey, this is a huge success. This artifact power is fantastic. Players really like this extra system. So let's add this next system in the next expansion. So they start doing work towards that. Now, unfortunately, at the end of Legion, everyone hated artifact power. They hated it because it was like, what is all this extra systems, this crazy stuff I got to grind? Like, it was unbelievable. But the problem is they've already started making progress on like Azerite armor, like for Battle for Azeroth, right?
Yep.
So Battle for Azeroth comes out. People already hate artifact power like things from Legion. Now here comes Battle for Azeroth. Well, here's Azerite armor. What is this? It's another system. Everyone hates it, right? We go through the expansion. I think that's the one where they did like the corruption thing. But at this point, it's like it's too far gone. And the devs, I think at that point, realized, okay, we got to back off. But we're too far. We've already got Shadowlands planned out, you know, assuming based on this artifact power. So I think the decision was made that they need to go back to basics somewhere in either Battle for Azeroth or something. So Dragonflight, because remember, again, it's 2-3 years in advance here that they were able to go back and take out these extra systems. There was that kind of meme going on, and I got to admit, I kind of agree with it. It felt like Blizzard introduced a system, everyone hated it, they spent the entire expansion trying to fix it, and then it got fixed at the very end. And then rinse and repeat. And then that was like, is this what the content of WoW is? You know, is this kind of a crazy thing? And I'm not trying to parrot what other people have said, but I felt that myself. So what I love about Dragonflight, and this decision, again, was probably made 2 years ago, is it is a back to basics. No more crazy systems. We're going to expand the talent system. It's going to be more horizontal than vertical. You know what I mean? As far as progression and stuff. They did change the crafting. I don't understand the crafting so much. It's still confusing to me, you know?
That's kind of when I dipped out, when I had to start crafting for my PvP gear.
Right.
And go outside of PvP in order to get my gear. But I kind of was like, I think this is my time until the next big patch. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Right. So although I will say one thing that was amazing, and it reminded me of Final Fantasy 14, was I went to this crafting auction house. And I needed like a necklace made. And I click on, I type in the necklace. It says, all right, I need these ingredients. I give those ingredients. I put it in. I put a little note saying, thanks a lot. I give a little tip. And the next day, it's in my mailbox, crafted by some random crafter who said, this was crafted by Uncle So-and-so's crafting. Please visit me again for all your crafting needs. It was
that's
awesome.
Cool.
It was like this role play email. It was great. But that's when I was like, okay, this is really cool. And in Final Fantasy 14, you can heart certain items in the auction house, and crafters can look for those hearts. And what those hearts mean is this is an item that people want crafted, and that they can post, and then people can purchase that item. I don't know exactly how that works. I think it's something like that. So my positive to the crafting thing, I thought that was awesome. But like, I'll admit, when they announced Dragonflight and I saw like, oh, there's dragon riding, I wasn't that excited. I was like, okay,
really?
I'm on a dragon. You know, what is this? Like, it's just a flying mount. Until I didn't. And you get in the dragon riding and they have this big music. It's like the How to Train Your Dragon movie. You know, they got the big orchestra and the horns and you're racing along the rings. And the music's like, it's like, and it's so much fun. And I've really enjoyed the raids. And so I've really, really been enjoying Dragonflight so far. And again, I think, and I hate to say it again, but I think it feels a little bit more simplified, more back to basics. They're also doing a lot more fun and interesting kind of things with the game. And not so much using all the resources on these major, major systems that they've done in the past. So I'm a big fan of Dragonflight, and I think it's been somewhat of a success. So I'm guessing because of that, remember, they're planning 2-3 years in advance, you know? So I'm assuming that this Dragonflight will be the new, you know, system that's going to kind of go forward, and then they're going to tweak and add on. But just like Legion, the artifact power, the secret Dark Horde, the enemy, right? We all loved it. Turned out, you know, we would eventually hate it. I think Dragonflight has really introduced a more simplified version of WoW, and I think that's going to carry on to the next couple of expansions.
Hmm. I think you're right about the rose-tinted glasses about Legion, because there was actually some cool things, right? Like the I really love the Demon Hunter class mount, I got, and the artifact weapons, were super cool. But you're right, the borrow power came in, and we didn't realize at the time. Yes.
Oh, the best. Like Legion.
How cool
like,
is that?
Yeah. The weapons, the class hall, you had like Ashbringer, and I love the priests and the paladins. You go to this like church area and it was just so flavored to that class. And you could be around your fellow shadow priests, which is this dark kind of cool area. And the warlock area was amazing. There was so much to Legion that was absolutely brilliant. Phenomenal expansion. But again, I think that artifact power introduction towards the end, players hated it, but it was already in plan for the next 2-3 expansions. Craziness.
Yeah. So in Vinruki's video, though, he's talking about new players, and obviously his video is slanted a little towards PvP because that's what he does, obviously, every day. So you coming back, did you find it difficult? Like riding a bike, you're able to just jump back in. Did you find the gearing process pretty straightforward? Compared to, other ones, was it easy to get into that raid tier and start going? Did you have to run a lot of mythic to get there? Or is it just, hey, I just want to raid? What did you have to do to get in?
Well, there's an interesting point that's being made. So Vinruki, phenomenal player, Asmongold, super smart guy, phenomenal player as well. All right. Come on. I don't want to say. these are veteran MMO players, veterans, right? So they're coming at this game from a veteran mindset, of how they're looking at the game, how they're analyzing the game. And I know we're going to kind of get into this stuff a little bit later, but I think that it's an interesting question. And then I know we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show as far as what is the mindset of a new player that's getting into an MMO? And is it overwhelming? Now, they are coming at it as a veteran MMO player. So what are they doing? They're looking at rotations. They're looking at how many abilities are going to be used. You got to time this with this. How does the gearing process work? I just wonder if a brand new player to an MMO who maybe came from like Dragon Age or something like that, where you pretty much, or God of War even, where you pretty much just have abilities and you just kind of kill the enemies. Like, oh, something's coming, you throw up a shield block, and then, you do that. But there's no real rotation, there's no real whatever. I almost wonder, it's more simplified. When they approach an MMO for the first time, if they have that same simplified mindset, they are not going to be, possibly, the new player, looking at the rotations, finding out all this mountain of stuff that they need, these add-ons, all this craziness. And I think it might be a little bit true because when you go into those low-level dungeons, you see, hunters wearing cloth gear. And you're like, why are you wearing cloth? You're a hunter. You should be wearing mail gear, or a warrior tank wearing leather. Well, you should be in plate. We know that because we're veteran MMO players. But to a new player that's coming from God of War or Dragon Age or whatever, they might not know that. They've got a more simplified, I'm not saying that they're dumb. I'm just saying that they have a different mindset going in than veteran MMO players. So I just wonder if Vinruki, Asmongold, and ourselves, the three of us being veterans, if we have a different lens when we look at World of Warcraft and other MMOs in general.
Yeah, well, of course, when we analyze stuff, we obviously look through our point of view, right? And even more so Vinruki, who plays the game every single day on a competitive level. You know what I mean? So his perspective is going to be different than our perspective, even though we are veterans. So it's interesting. Me and Scott kind of went back and forth on that as well. And kind of what you're getting at is this kind of a problem or is this a perceived problem? Kind of a thing. What are the merits to new players getting into WoW? And obviously, like I said, PvP, it seems tougher because I think we'll get into this too. Vinruki talks about getting into like CSGO or something, or you just download and go. If you want to play Overwatch, you know what I mean, Scott? And some of our buddies play Overwatch and you just jump in. There's no real hoops to jump through. But I guess I'll ask you this question, because this is kind of on topic. I mean, is there anyone in your raid group that just started playing the game in Dragonflight?
No.
I mean,
And I asked around. You asked me this before, and I asked the whole team. I said, anyone here starting Dragonflight? Crickets. You know, and then everyone was like, no, I started years ago. So there is an, I'd be interested. We don't really see the subscriber numbers now, but I would be very interested to see how many new players are coming in, because I agree that, and Benruki brought up this point, that maybe not a lot of new players are entering World of Warcraft. And why is that? You know, what is the reason for that? Or maybe they are.
I think new players have been coming and still do come. I just don't think they make it to that portion of the game that you and Venruki play. They drop off before that.
Or they just play for story or different reasons, more casual reasons.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think this is specific to WoW. I know we were kind of talking, you know, the video from Venruki Asmongold spurred this on in WoW, but I think a lot of MMOs are probably in this, you know, similar situation. I was just curious and asking that question, is this a PvP issue or, you know, does it apply to PvE as well? You know, are new people getting into raids? Are raids untouchable, you know, for a new player to kind of even fathom getting in and getting to where they need to be, you know, for the first raid tier or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a funny thing, having that lens of a veteran MMO player. I can tell you real quick about my first experience in Final Fantasy 14. I've been playing WoW forever. All I've heard is about this critically acclaimed MMORPG where the first level to 60 is free, you know, blah, blah, you know, the big meme, right? Final Fantasy 14, I got to check this thing out. So I log into Final Fantasy 14. I'm looking at the classes. Ooh, Dragoon. That's like, I think it was Kane from Final Fantasy 2. He jumps. He's got the spear. Okay. So as a veteran MMO player, what's the first thing I do? I go to YouTube and I pull up a guide. What is the rotation? What is the gameplay like, right? As a veteran MMO, right? I don't think a normal player would do that. They just want to get in, like, simplified and just like playing Dragon Age or God of War. They just want to go, right? Mm-hmm. But here I am looking up the rotation of a Dragoon at max level. And I'm going to tell you something, man. It's like an 8-page graph of about, it's like 50 abilities, and that's just the opener, right? And then you've got the general rotation that it rotates. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, it was so many abilities, I could not believe it. You got global cooldown stuff, you've got off globals. I was blown away. So I was like, okay, well, Dragoon seems a little much. Let me switch to Monk. I'm sure Monk is much easier in Final Fantasy 14. It's not. Like, if you think Dragoon is bad, and by the way, the community thinks the Dragoons, actually, rotation's pretty easy. It's not that bad. It's insane. It's insane. Right. So I will say, just to compare the two MMOs, because you mentioned, is this an MMO thing? Right. Or is this a WoW thing? You know, but here's the thing. I think that World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV have this certain aspect in them where you do focus on rotation and abilities versus something like New World or Lost Ark, and I was actually curious too to hear your opinion on Guild Wars 2, where I don't know if those are so much rotation focused, right? Like, these issues with WoW, and Venruki pointed out Arcane Mage, and it's insane what you have to maintain and keep track. The rotation's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Looking at Dragoon or Monk in Final Fantasy 14, it's insane. It's unbelievable how many abilities and everything like that. So I thought, well, this must be MMOs. But then I played Lost Ark. Phenomenal game, but those abilities, you've only got like 5 or 6 abilities, nothing major. You're not really looking at rotation. You're kind of dodging, weaving, you know, a little bit of things. New World even, you know, you've only got, I think, 3 abilities. You can switch weapons. You get another 3. It's not so much rotation based. So, and I don't know how Guild Wars 2 is, but I wonder if this is a World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy, like a type of MMO problem. Right. That might not be as accessible, or if this is a general MMO. How does Guild Wars 2 go? Is it very rotation heavy? Is it rotation based at all?
I would say it has a limited action bar, so I think you have probably 5, depending on the class, up to like maybe 15 abilities to keep track of, and they have an active dodge, which is like an iframe dodge, so you don't take damage while you're in your dodge animation. So at least in PvP, it is very reactive. You're looking up, and also it is tab target, but all the abilities are in theory, action abilities. If you swing your sword, if someone is in front of you, your sword hits them. That's kind awesome. Of a thing. You must be facing them. So, I mean, we do a whole podcast on Guild Wars 2. Don't get me started. But I think the combat is one of the best combat systems out there for an MMO. And so, I do kind of think it's almost, I don't know if I want to say it like this, but these dinosaur MMOs, you know, that World of Warcraft spawned, because I would say Star Wars Old Republic is in that kind of camp. You know, you have your huge action bars with so many things to push. And so you're right. It could be a subset of MMOs that really are facing this issue. And I don't know, I'll ask you, Scott, because I know you jumped into Lost Ark and you really enjoyed that. Was that kind of like a refreshing experience to have the smaller action bar into, I don't know, how did you like that combat in comparison to what we're used to playing?
I mean, Lost Ark for me was just a Diablo holdover. If we're being honest. So it wasn't like it was so refreshing as it just was familiar, because I'd played a ton of Diablo before that. So I was just like, well, I know what to expect. This is what it is. And I guess I view them differently. I don't see Lost Ark in the same vein as I would look at WoW. It is similar, but it's a different game. So when it comes to ARPG, that's what I just expect from it. However, I have been talking to a lot of people about Diablo. I think I even mentioned it to Tom. Like, I was saying, man, if Diablo was in the same formulation, like the third person is WoW, like I would be having a really good time with this right now. I don't mind the top down, but if it was in the same vein, like in a typical MMO, like it would be a fun game, and it would probably, now that you mention it, I think it probably would be kind of refreshing.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Vanruki even brought up where each ability in Diablo 4 has a purpose, has a real meaning to it, you know, and in WoW, it's just kind of your abilities are all part of that rotation. And the same in Final Fantasy 14. Lost Ark, Diablo, each ability has a real purpose to it. And even in New World, you know, same type deal. Less abilities, but have more purpose and meaning.
And then those abilities can be altered based on the gear you're wearing. So if you want it to kind of serve a more nuanced purpose, then equip that piece of gear that kind of changes that skill to do something else.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Scott, too, because I know we're talking about Coltrane's view as a kind of returning to Dragonflight, but you've actually been out. The last time you played WoW, me and you leveled in BFA. Yes, and I think, you know, we're having a good time, but at some point something, a light switched or a switch flipped for you, and you're like, man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. You know what I mean? And because for the longest time, you were the one who were like, Tom, just get into WoW. Like, it's where all these games come from. Put Star Wars down. Like, it's the most polished. It's got the best combat. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you were always the one who pulled me to WoW. And now it's kind of reversed. I try to get you to come play with me. But
how the turntables.
Yes.
So, but what is, I know, obviously, life happens. But what is really stopping you from jumping back in? Is it just a life thing, or is there aspects of the game that seems a little daunting? I don't know if I want
to. It is a life thing. Just to answer the question. Okay. Like I still hold to that. It's super polished. It's still a great game. Like I have no problem with it, other than the things that we're talking about, and that's more just as gaming is evolving. It's not necessarily a quote unquote problem. I don't think it's a flaw within the game. It's just, for me, it's just purely a time thing. I just don't have the time or the energy to just put into it like I'd want to. I would be sitting there being like, man, I want to put in this time to get there, but I'm just like, I can't do it.
Oh, Coltrane, the number of subliminal Discord messages sent to Scott. Oh, this Demon Hunter movement is so good. Oh, I just globaled this sub rogue. Like, it would be so much fun if you were here. You know,
man, the little Thrall is the greatest character ever written.
Yeah, right. Just anything to get Scott to play. It just like bounces off. He's got WoW armor now. I don't know.
Yeah.
What it is? But maybe one day.
Yeah. Well, Metzen's back. You know, he's involved with. Yeah, he's back.
Is Thrall back?
Well, I don't know about Thrall. You know, okay. I don't know. But Metzen, the voice of Thrall,
yeah,
the creator
I know.
Of Thrall, he's back. So Metzen is kind of back, you know. So, I mean,
yeah. You know, I'm sure as soon as my kids are a little more grown, I'll probably make a return at some point. Maybe in WoW too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's interesting too about life is that you're right. You know, as we get older, life changes. Now we've got a job, we've got responsibilities, we've got kids. We can't have these huge gaming sessions till 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And by the way, those were amazing, right?
Right.
Not the greatest time ever. I love you, honey, but my gosh, you have no idea. You know, my wife would never understand. But and it's interesting about how sometimes these games, they talked about League of Legends, CSGO, it's kind of a pop in, pop out. Get in, get some content, smash some stuff, you know, and then get out. Whereas an MMO, it's much more longer and drawn out. It's going to take you maybe 20, 30 minutes just to get to your destination before you can actually get anything done. And I think as gamers, we want to feel like we've accomplished something. We got something done today. You know, we got something done. And it's harder in an MMO to feel that sense of accomplishment when you've got such a much more limited play time.
Yeah.
And Scott, I'm gonna let you loose in a second, unleash you on this topic. You know, for those that don't know, Scott's in kind of clinical psychology, so he loves this kind of stuff and kind of all the things that surround these games and gamers and the decision we make. But just mentioning kids, Scott, we each have 4 kids.
Yep.
Plus us, I mean, we almost have a whole raid team. You know what I mean? So we're before too long. You know what
before
I mean?
Before too long. Maybe that's when I'll make my return, when I have like 3 healers and 1 tank and
we're raising right.
Yeah, you have a healer to queue in 3s, and then you don't just, you know,
I have my own LFG dungeon all day. Team right now. So
there you go.
Exactly. There you go. Pushing keys, right? Exactly. Raise them right. I'm telling you guys, come on. Let's do it. Let's do this right. You have an incredible, mythic team already.
Yep. Oh my God. So well, I know my wife hasn't left me yet. She's going to in the next few years.
Oh man. But so I know we keep referencing this Vinruki video, which kind of started all this off, and he touched a little bit on kind of some of the psychology, the TikTok age, I think is kind of the words he said. So Scott, I know you had a lot of thoughts on this, so why don't you kind of
let us... So I think we're talking about surface stuff here, and I this is the way my mind always goes to psychology, philosophy, so I kind of want to just peel back the layers on this, essentially. I could talk about this for hours, so I'm going to try and be as succinct as I can. So when Vinruki brought up like his points, I couldn't help but see parallels of what I've been experiencing with my own individual experience in gaming, as we kind of just talked about. There's a unique psychological element to this, what I would call like a paradigm shift that's occurring with not only media in general, but the gaming aspect specifically. Every generation goes through like an inevitable shift. An evolution is the main influential population, in this case with gaming, is Gen X and millennials. What is like unique is the way that technology came into our mainstream lives like drastically, right? We were essentially the last generation to be born into a world pre this huge shift that happened probably around early 2000. I'd say we knew what life was like before, and then all of a sudden life just wasn't like that anymore. To quote Bane, you know, Gen Z was born into this age molded by it, right? The point that I'm trying to make is like normally these changes take place over a relatively longer period of time, and we as humans, we have like a moderate amount of time to evolve and adapt to these changes. But the rapid shift in technology that we experience, like the internet, mass social media, connections through Facebook, smartphones, gaming, entertainment consumption with like streaming services, all that just changed drastically, like in a snap. Let's kind of circle back to WoW then. It came out in 2004 with the rise of this huge shift that we experienced. WoW was like this new modicum of gaming that just became streamlined. It was accessible to the culture. And although it did borrow from EverQuest a lot, it was now this premier experience of a game that was like a single player, but with a community. It was new, it was unique, and it was like this social platform, but in the form of a game. Your avatar, your character. It was a representation of you. And I think that's what made, we talked a little bit about community briefly, Coltrane. I think that's what made the community special. And it gave us a feeling of like this vibrancy that we never really seemed to return to in the game. At least the more I played WoW before I stopped, like it didn't feel the same anymore. So if you ask me like what the main ingredient missing from WoW is today, it would for sure be the community and like the embodiment of players that it used to have when it first came out. And so to have a game that brings in new players while trying to maintain the original demographic is just like a really hard feat to pull off in the first place for Blizzard. And that's something we'll continue to touch on here. But let me finish by saying that I often find myself these days like overwhelmed of where to even start. Like, where do I get the time? I got these new shows to catch up on. I have podcasts to listen to. I have a Peloton class to do. I have a single player game that I want to play. There's an ARPG like Diablo that I want to gear in. Tom's asking me to play MMOs, SWTOR, Guild Wars, WoW, Tauras Land. And hilariously enough, like I find myself sitting on the couch thinking about what to play. And next thing I know, I'm like falling asleep. It's just, it's crazy. So now you bring in a younger generation of the TikTok age that he talks about. And this is kind of a problem with the culture at the core, is these people's dopamine systems these days. We're beginning to treat everything as like scrolling through TikTok or Instagram mindlessly for hours. So that's kind of how I compare gaming today. It's like, give me more, give me more, give me more. And I just am seeing that same phenomenon. It's like people get bored quick, they want more. But if it's too much, then it's a turnoff and they don't want to put in the time or the work. It's just a strange paradox when you think about it. And I think it's a deeper problem that is something that we'll probably keep uncovering over the years. So I know I've talked a lot, but to put a bow on it, it used to feel like when we had time to enjoy the game. And maybe that's just me getting older and seeing a change. But It used to be about the journey. Then it was more about the journey than it was the destination.
Wow.
Well, let me. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Fantastic. You need a 4-year degree to listen to this podcast instead of play WoW. but let me pull some things out because I think you made some really good points. I will say, first of all, it seems like it's almost like the new players now and us are like totally different people, right? Yep. Like obviously we jumped in the beginning of MMOs as almost like a social hub. Like even today when I jump back in a guild, I'm like, I want to jump into Discord and have adult conversations after talking to the kids all day. You know what I mean? Like, of course I like, you know, the dungeons, the PvP that I'm doing, but you know, I want to hang out with people. I want to, you know, but new players, I don't know if that is their goal. And like you said, you know, I've heard some really great videos over this, you know, psychology, you know, so I'm not claiming this, but WoW was the social hub, but the social hub over time has moved to Facebook, to Discord. So WoW is not delivering that anymore. That is not what binds that. Maybe why the community has aspect also doesn't feel the same, because we're getting our community other places than coming to WoW. But new players are looking for something different. Maybe it's fueled by dopamine. Well, actually, let's pause there. I don't know. Do y'all have anything on that? I mean, Coltrane, when you started playing, I mean, WoW was, like Scott said, insane, right? I mean, your whole friend group is there, and you're jumping in every night, even now when you raid, right? Isn't that one of the main aspects of jumping into the raid, even now?
Absolutely. Massively multiplayer online role-playing game. You know, I started back in the days of Ultima Online, you know what I mean? And EverQuest, and then moved, you know, Dark Age of Camelot, and, you know, worked my way on up the ranks as most of us did. There was a huge influx of MMOs at that time. And you're right. What you said at the beginning too, was Warcraft was this amazing, or World of Warcraft was this kind of barrier. A lot of the barriers were let go. It was so much easier to get into it. And you're right. Community was such a big part because it was like we were all embarking on this journey together. Mm-hmm. And it felt like you were a part of something. It felt almost real. It had such impact. I find that MMO players tend to not play single player RPGs. They tend to only play MMOs like World of Warcraft, because when I played an RPG, I'm like, well, I'm wasting my time. I'm not advancing my character. I'm not this is a waste. What am I doing? You know, it's like this weird psychology, thing in my head of like, no, it needs to stick with WoW. Like I have a brother and he's never played MMOs and he plays every game that comes out. I've never heard him so happy. And what am I? I'm miserable playing, MMOs all day. I think he's got the better end of the deal. But this is like an MMO player problem. You know, we tend to kind of stick with our MMO for God knows how long I've been playing WoW, since the beginning. So, but what a fascinating thing to talk about this new generation, this kind of with the TikTok, with the dopamine hits, with the even the YouTube shorts, the Instagram, where it's just pop, 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 pop. And then you get into an MMO. I mean, I have seen so many complaints about how long everything takes. You know, why isn't this developed? Why isn't this ready? Let me ask you this. Here's a solve. Let me ask you if this is the solve.
Okay.
Is the solve AI? And what I mean is, like, I think WoW. So if AI, and this is people are going to hate this, okay? People are going to hate this, but I'm just going to say it, because why not, right? So sound off in the comments how culture is a massive jerk. All right, here we go. The benefit to AI is AI can create these worlds instantly, within seconds. What would take a human months to create? Even Photoshop now has a thing where you can type in the search, give me a forest with flying unicorns and this and that, and it's like, boom, here you go. Here's 50 of them, and they all look amazing. But in the gaming space, can AI, will it be able to compete with the demand? Meaning it'll be able to do the coding so much faster, double check everything than a human. It'll be able to create environments so much faster and double check everything than a human. Do the testing, the balance patches, I remember way back in the day with World of Warcraft, I was invited to a Blizzard campus tour and I got to meet all the dev team and I got to meet the class devs. And it was amazing. They had a training dummy that they would put in their favorite part of Azeroth, their favorite part of the world. They would place a training dummy and they would work on the rotation manually by hand, and see how it felt and all this kind of stuff. Right. It was amazing. It was great, but it was time consuming. Maybe AI, I just wonder if AI is the answer to solve the development issues where right now it takes, 4, 6, 7, 8 years to create an MMO. Maybe that could be done in a year. Everyone's waiting for the big Riot MMO. If that was done by AI, it'd probably be out already. New expansions. If it was created by AI, they could have a new expansion every 3 months, every 6 months. Would that satisfy the dopamine hit for the younger, TikTok generation?
Just a faster stream of content, basically.
I think that just kind of makes the problem worse over time, because it's like we're now, it's just a continuous stream of content and stimulation. And once AIs do it, it's going to be even more. So it's like, it's almost as if we need to take a step back, at least psychologically, to kind of like almost recalibrate ourselves and just take a deep breath and like, let's enjoy this for what it is. I don't think it's a problem with the technology. I think it's a problem with the people right now.
Right. But it's also a business, and that's driving clicks, because that constant dopamine hit, that's generating revenue for somebody, so they're gonna, like, that's the thing somehow, because it's all money,
runaway capitalism.
It literally is it's destroying the human race, but hey, the rich are getting richer, so Party yep. on, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not
well, that's a whole other podcast here. Now,
Cole. Yeah, I know. That's a whole other. I'm not trying to be political.
Happy 4th of July,
people.
Everyone.
Yes, I'm not trying to be political at all.
We're only melting over here, so exactly. let's just keep it going.
Exactly. But you are correct in that all of this needs to stop. You know, we need to take a moment to breathe. Mm. But I just wonder, I mean, unless something catastrophic happens, will that ever happen?
Well,
it's like a runaway greenhouse effect of the mind, essentially. Right. And it's a bit freaky. It scares me.
Coltrane, in 2 years, we won't even need you to be here.
That's
we'll
true.
Just have AI Coltrane.
We've been recording your voice this whole time.
Yes.
So next time, we're just going to put a generated image up of you, and it's going to mimic your voice.
Yeah. So let alone games. Think about YouTube. Already it's starting. There's whole YouTube channels that you don't even need people anymore to get the information you want. AI is generating it with an AI person and voice and crazy. Delivering. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I may have asked for a few titles, you know, from ChatGPT to help me, you know, a few thumbnail images, you know, sure. I'm not going to lie. Right. But isn't that why MMOs are still important? It's almost like we're going against now the philosophy of this video of if games need to be more accessible, isn't MMOs the ultimate delayed gratification? You know what I mean? Isn't it you put in the work to get the reward, you know, down the road kind of a thing? You gear, you do your crafted gear, and on the last pull, you get the kill, right? Yeah. Coltrane, isn't it that's so sweet? Magic. Isn't it right? And so I see what you're saying, Scott, because not just gaming, but, you know, TikTok is vying for time. You know, I probably sound like a boomer, but Netflix, do people still watch Netflix? I don't know. But there's all these outside influences that are vying for your attention and dopamine hits that if a new player comes into World of Warcraft, like you're saying, is it just an insurmountable mountain to climb to look at the vast number of things that need to be done to get to the top of the mountain? And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I'll go play League of Legends. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing.
Exactly.
I don't know. So it is an interesting thing to think about. So there's competition from everywhere. That's for sure.
I think we should probably come out of that void a little bit, though, and go back to surface level stuff.
Right,
we're going to talk about LFG way too deep.
And
yes, like, it got deep. We should talk about about Raid Finder. All right, now Raid Finder, we can all agree is amazing. The best thing that happened to WoW. Am I right? LFR. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some other games. I recently on the channel, I think all you know, I did this Terrace Land open beta that they had, and okay, let's make no mistake, it is almost a 1-for-1. Copy Chinese copy of WoW. So it's interesting though, because I played this game, right? And the game is nowhere near as polished as WoW. The story, the localization is not good. It's nothing's going to grip you when you jump in from a story standpoint, and other things like, you know, gender and race lock for the characters. If you know, like you were saying, Coltrane, with single player games, you totally nailed it, because I do not play single player games for that reason. If I can't make my own character and avatar, I'm not going to live in an MMO world that I can't create my virtual representation of myself, kind of a thing, which you can't in Terrace Land. So it's missing a lot of things, but it comes to the point of why then was there so much attention for this game? I mean, it's some of our best performing YouTube videos on, you know, that we've done. And I think there's a few reasons, because it's almost trying to marry that MMO feel, but they're giving you the reduced action bar like Lost Ark, like League of Legends. You know, you have 8 abilities. It just simplifies the gearing. You get a drop from the boss, and that's it. You take the currency, you buy the rest of your pieces. And it's just making a very, I don't know if I want to say watered down, but a very accessible MMO. And it's almost like, me and Scott have had this conversation a lot. I almost feel like MMOs need to become more casual to survive, more accessible moving forward. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that take. I just thought Terrace Land really caught me off guard with the attention it got, with kind of its return to simplicity. Did you guys What did you think about that, or some of the coverage, or just the way it looked? How did you see that game or other games like it? What are you seeing?
I was really impressed. There were a couple of things about Terrace Land that I really, again, from literally just watching your content, and there was a point that Asmongold brought up too about the simplified rotations. And in Veruki even talked about Arcane Mage and Wrath of the Lich King. I actually played Arcane Mage and Wrath of the Lich King, and it was Arcane Blast, Arcane Blast, Arcane Blast. You get a proc, Arcane Missiles, awesome. You know, and you got your little, and it was very simplified, and it was fun, it was engaging, but it wasn't crazy. But here's the question. Why are these rotation-based MMOs we were discussing earlier, right? World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, so complicated? Why are they so crazy? And I think it has to do with these games being around for so long, and these developers trying to keep it fresh over all the years. I mean, we can talk about Classic WoW, the success of Classic WoW, and how great it is. Well, I played a mage in Classic WoW, and all I did was spam Frostbolt. That was it. You know, it was in Molten Core, Frostbolt. At the time, I thought it was amazing because I didn't know any better. This was what I knew, and this is how it was, and it was fantastic. And I just hit one button the entire time, but I've never had more fun, right? But I think that devs, you know, developers, players, it's going to get stagnant. You know, nowadays, if I was playing a class and all I did was hit one button over and over and over again, I'd be like, okay, what? I mean, what's going on? You know, I mean, and they actually have some of these like cast macros that some people use where they literally just hit one button. But well, you almost have to in some ways for some of these because these rotations are so crazy.
Swifty one shot.
Exactly. Sure. Right. By the way, it's classic. It still works. It's amazing. Right. Shout out to Swifty. But I just think that has to do with these games being around for so long. You brought up a great point earlier, Tom, about that this might be World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, that older subset of MMO, more rotation-based, versus some of this new stuff. Lost Ark, New World, not so much rotation stuff. Terrace Land, maybe not so much rotation stuff. It sounds to me, and you have to tell me because I haven't played Terrace Land yet, but it sounds to me kind of like that Wrath of the Lich King Arcane Mage where your abilities have impact. Maybe you get a proc. Maybe you do this. It's so it's it's simple, but still kind of keeps it interesting.
They did a really smart thing, in my opinion, where if you go into the skill tree itself, the skill tree is still very, very full. It's very vast. You have tons of options to choose in the skill tree to determine how your skills combo together or to, you know, ESO style transform a skill into something else, like a single to an AoE, or, you know, so they've moved the complexity from the number of buttons you have to push into how you choose your passives that affect. And I feel like that was really smart, and I feel like WoW could do something like that. Now, obviously, we'll get into what WoW will do. I don't know what they will do. But I think as a solution to some of these games that are rotation-based, I think that can still happen because you're right. In Wrath and some of these older ones, you hit the button and then the shiny proc popped up and you're like, oh, yeah, that feels good. You know what I mean? And you hit the button and you're like, oh, I can't. That was the original dopamine hit right there, you know. So I don't know. I think moving some of the complexity to like the skill tree area could be a good way forward for some of these rotation-based games. But I guess I'll just ask you, Scott, from watching the Terrace Land coverage, if there was an MMO, we kind of had that talk on stream and in the Asmongold reaction video, kind of it was, I was asking you, hey, if it's so easy to jump into and we only have a few skills and we can just go do some battlegrounds like one night a week or two nights a week without any strings attached or, you know, a month-long grind to get your gear up, is that appealing to you? Are you like, I don't know, would that bring you back in a sense to an MMO?
You know, now that I've thought about it after we first talked about that on stream, I would say yes. I think what was happening for me while I was watching it is that it was so off-putting trying to watch an imitation. It was like being in Bizarro Land, and it was just so, it was like the uncanny valley
Yeah, that's yeah
thing. Like, it was familiar, but different, that it was really weird. And I'm like, I don't like this. Like, I just didn't like the way it made me feel. So to answer your question, if it was like a new game with its new lore, new style, then yeah, that would actually be kind of cool.
Well, then let's just make the transition then. WoW 2? I mean, brand new, reduced skill bars, new lore. Everyone is on the same level. And obviously I'm saying WoW 2, but it could be any game. You know, obviously Asmongold had the rant, you know, too many pets, too many buttons, too many this, too many, you know, it. And you've kind of alluded to it, Coltrane, almost like, can there even be a reset to WoW? And I've actually made a handful of videos, because I'm such a Guild Wars 2 fan, and I feel like Guild Wars 2 had such a rocky first impression that it never truly recovered, and now you're seeing a lot of players come to it and experience it for the first time. But the game is 10 years old, and I feel like, in my opinion, a Guild Wars 3 would be a second chance at a first impression to use the things they've learned over the years and to bring an amazing MMO with amazing quality of life better than other MMOs. And so I think it needs that, but I understand it's risky for a developer to take something that is cash in hand, right? It's a sure thing. You're making WoW patches and expansions. And so to change it up and go to a sequel maybe is very risky. So I understand that. I don't want to overstate that or understate that. But is some sort of reset, in your opinion, Coltrane, is that appealing to you? Or as a veteran, you're just like, you know, I'm good with the status quo if they just keep putting out expansions forever. And I don't know. Right. Or maybe just think of a new player perspective. Maybe take both your perspective, then what maybe you think a new player might want.
It's a great question. I think that, by the way, supposedly they trademarked Guild Wars 3, supposedly. There was like a trademark or something from ArenaNet that said a new MMO based on fantasy genre. There's rumors.
I know they have job postings for an Unreal Engine 5 position. It didn't say Guild Wars 3 on the job posting, but I am hopeful. But I know it's so funny. It seems like a lot of people in the community are fighting against it and they don't want it. Once you've... Well, think about WoW. Think about your WoW character.
Yeah.
Think about your ahead of the curve achievement. All of that goes away. It doesn't go away, but if you move to a new game, you're starting from scratch. And so I think a lot of people are scared to lose all their accumulation of achievements, and they're so tied to that character in a sense.
Everyone's looking for that WoW killer, right? That's the classic thing. Everyone's
20 years later.
Yes, 20 years later, right? Everyone's tried that new MMO, right? And then it's fallen short. But there's always a huge spike. Lost Ark had like millions of players. New World had a massive spike.
Ark Age had a huge initial launch.
Exactly.
Millions of players.
Yeah, so I think that there is a massive demand for that, quote, WoW killer or something like that. I think there is a massive demand for this, the new Riot MMO that they're working on, right? The something to jump in that's fresh, that's new. I think there was a huge demand for it. But the demands nowadays, I mean, like Ashes of Creation, incredible. Mm-hmm. They just released a new dev diary and everything that they're doing. Unbelievable, this game. What's hilarious is the amount of features that an MMO needs to launch with now compared to back then. Like, this is a failed game. Like, what? Like, it needs to have raids. It needs to have dungeons. It needs to have, PvP. It needs to have worldwide. Like, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? But that's this new, younger generation. It's what we expect, and we want it now, you know? But I would love to jump into a WoW 2. I think that it would need something. I think what you're talking about is the new way of MMOs. Mm. Less abilities. Yeah. Maybe more action combat. Your eyes are on the screen, not on your hotbars. You know what I mean? Yep. You're seeing what's going on. Your abilities have impact. You're not, you know, looking at, well, I can't cast this. I can only cast this ability if this procs on top of this proc while I use this trinket at the same time, and then I can use this within the last 3 seconds before the mob dies. Like, that's a literal part of, like, the arcane mage rotation. Like, that's insane, right? But I understand the devs, they need to change it up and blah, blah, blah. So I think that the idea of something new, like you're saying, if Terrace Land, it's interesting, Scott. If Terrace Land didn't look so similar to WoW, you might be completely on board, you know? And in fact, I'm curious, Tom, you mentioned, I think in one of the videos, that it does have kind of a jump in, jump out thing with some of the dungeons, right? There's not as much trash or anything. You can just kind of jump in, fight a boss, jump out. Is that true?
Yeah, I think they're capitalizing on all of this, right? They are trying to remove the pain points. You know what I mean? The things that keep us out of, you know, the long run backs from the raid wipe, the multiple, all the trash in the raid.
Right.
I do think they're trying to go down that route. And yeah, like you, a WoW 2, I would be just hyped for it, you know? And I think you're right. There's some accumulation over 20 years of just so much baggage onto a game that what can you do at this point, like you're saying? And I think almost WoW needs a reset because I don't know, you could be different, Coltrane, but me and Scott have this discussion all the time. Scott, one of his main pain points is like, I just can't deal with the add-ons anymore.
Yeah.
Scott like refuses to do it because it's just so much extra.
If I come back, I'm not getting add-ons. I just refuse.
Straight
up, just refuse, not doing it.
But even with like DBM, right, the developers have to create the raids around the add-on almost, think of how much simpler it would be if they didn't have to do that, you know, and it would still be fun. We would still love the raids. Yeah, I agree. I am hoping for some sort of sequels, some sort of me and Scott have had this conversation as well. I kind of feel like we're on the brink, and this just could be, you know, optimism on my part, of almost like an MMO renaissance, like a new golden era. I really think it's around the corner, you know, maybe because I'm thinking Unreal Engine 5 is going to, add a lot to the technology and the speed of development and some of the things that can be done. And so that is kind of where I am. I'm kind of hopeful. I really just want to peek right around the corner to see what's coming. If WoW jumped in on that, it would be great.
This might be a hot take, and I've said it before.
Here we go.
I think in order for the next evolution to happen, WoW needs to die in some form. And I think the only thing to bring WoW down is WoW itself. So if that means that it reinvents itself or it screws up reinventing itself, only good is going to come out of that. Because WoW is right now the gold standard, has been for 20 years, and as long as it's in existence, it always will be. So I think it has, even though it's great and has and continues to do cool things, it is halting the innovation of other games, and I think it's been holding MMOs at kind of a standstill.
Wow, that's a great point, man. That's a great point. I love that. Yeah, I mean, not like I don't want the destruction of WoW,
right?
But I'm just saying that, like, I mean, it's an interesting thing. It's like they've had this kind of monopoly, and when people are looking, when MMOs are made. I mean, let's just be real here. Part of it is, of course, passion and all that, but also about making money. Okay, well, what's making money right now? Well, World of Warcraft. Let's just do what they're doing, right? And then that seems to be successful, and then blah, blah, blah. But if there was the Great Reset, we'll call it the Great Reset, Tom. The Golden Age. Actually, your sounds a lot better. The Renaissance, you know. But I think that, boy, wouldn't that be something, though, man? If WoW just completely reset, they went down to like 6 abilities, you know, had more impact, more meaning, kind of update the MMO, you know.
Yeah, because think about it too, what we've often said, how many times over these 20 years have we sat here and said, oh, this game's the next WoW killer,
right?
And all it's done is failed at trying to be WoW, and it has failed over and over and over. So something has to give here for better stuff to come forward. I think it's kept it stagnant for a while. Yeah. So I'm tired of seeing clones. I'm tired of seeing games trying to be the WoW killer, and in doing so, they just don't innovate enough. They don't try new things enough because they're scared to not even hold a candle to WoW, which is understandable.
It's risky. I mean, look at it from the movie industry, right? So I edit movie trailers or previews for a living. So I'm one of those guys that gives away everything in the movie. So I apologize for that. Like, on behalf of all movie trailers, I apologize. All right? But there is a huge risk. People always complain. Why is it that with movies, there's nothing original anymore? It's all sequels and prequels, or now it's comic books, or it's based off this and based off that.
Remakes,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the reason is it's a guaranteed investment. There's a higher chance that if, let's say I'm an investor, right? I'm going to invest $20 million into some movie being made. Well, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable if I know that it's based off a very popular comic book, or it's a sequel to a movie that was already very successful. If I've got 20 mil, I'm going to be more apt to that versus here's something that's completely original with unknown actors, or maybe they got maybe they got one big name, but who knows? It could be a huge success, or it could be a huge bomb. And I just wonder if that similar thinking is in maybe video games, this MMO genre. Maybe I'm trying poorly to try and connect the movies and films to what you're saying about.
No, you're right. Yeah. I think you're completely right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's stagnant. People have to be afraid to take risks at some point. It's going to kind of self-implode. Like, this isn't sustainable, and I think we're starting to see that. So at some point, somebody is going to have to take a risk. And I think, hey, you mentioned Ashes, and we've covered that. Like, Stephen Sharif is taking a risk. I'll give him credit. Like, for sure. This could be the catalyst for a new age, so to speak.
Yeah, my take on Ashes is, obviously, we are really excited to see where they go. I have some major concerns with Ashes, and I think my major concerns are a few. One is going to a sub model. Now, do I prefer a sub model? Yes, but a sub model gives you a very short leash to get it right. And if you don't get the numbers in right away, you know, you like Star Wars Old Republic kind of went panic mode and had to go free to play and all that. So that's kind of one concern. The other is that in this, we're having this discussion on complexity and WoW. Ashes seems to be maybe the most complex MMO I've ever seen. Like you said, Coltrane, with all the systems. Now, does it sound amazing to an old school MMO player? Of course. And so my take on Ashes has kind of always been, even if it turns out to be a failure, I think, like what Scott is saying, the ability of Stephen Sharif to kind of push the envelope is going to be a ripple effect into MMOs around the corner. Like, okay, what about 6 years from now? Will there be a more accessible Ashes of Creation?
Right.
I'm almost like thinking of what is after Ashes for me, I think is going to be the big one. Cause I think Ashes is going to be he said it himself, you know, we're not making this game for everyone. It's a very, which I think that's kind of, I don't really like him saying that. I think an MMO is better with as many people as possible. Like, that's the whole point of MMOs, right? You want your world filled with tons of people to do all kinds of content with.
But chocolate tastes better than vanilla, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Because everybody likes vanilla, right? But it's vanilla.
That is true. That is true.
You know? But chocolate. Yeah. Ooh, a little spice. You know what I'm saying? That's true. A little spice.
And my other bet is still on ArenaNet. And if they can do something additional with Guild Wars, I will say this till, you know, my face turns blue. ArenaNet does everything. They look at what everyone else does and they go the other way. And they make it's so appealing and the quality of life is amazing. I just think it needs a refresh, a new coat of paint. And so I think those guys are really onto something. And of course, WoW. I sent something to Scott in the Discord today. I saw a video. One of my favorite guys out there from Force Gaming, covering the announced, or kind of, I don't know if it's been officially announced, but the Blizzard survival game that they are making. He kind of announced it as a semi-MMO, but what does Blizzard do the best? they look what everyone else is doing and they make it better, right? And so WoW 2, I still think they could make it better, you know, if they really wanted to. And so those are kind of the three I have my eye on and what I'm seeing, how the MMO genre will progress and evolve next. And I know, Scott, I know you're chomping at the bit. You love survival, so I know you're ready to get into that one. Yeah.
Big, are you big Ark Survival Evolved or Conan, or what's your
more, I would say, minimal, like Valheim. I freaking love Valheim much. I would love to see a modernized game that has that kind of element, I guess.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's just survival enough to not be like annoying and obnoxious, and it's super fun with friends. It's like some of the most chill gaming sessions I've ever had. And it's just fun, man. It's unique and it's fun. So if Blizzard pulls off something like this, that could potentially be huge.
Have to make a chimney in Valheim for the smoke to exit out. Like, it's a small detail, but I love that. Or else you'll smoke everybody out. Like, you gotta have it.
Exactly.
The smoke actually follows, you know, the area.
It's the little things, man.
The little things.
It's those small nuances that just make or break something.
Yeah.
Well, man, I think this is a cool conversation. I like talking about this MMO stuff. I could do it all day, every day. You know, I don't know if we tackled the solution of how to fix all WoW's problems or MMO's problems. You know what I mean? In the meantime, just a small fix that I would love, and I would be into WoW in a heartbeat, is if they did the Guild Wars model. I don't know if you ever, or Guild Wars 2 PvP, you can enter the PvP lobby at level 2, and they boost you to max level. You have you can get every piece of gear, every weapon, and you just jump in with people and you can play PvP forever. If WoW normalized the level of PvP in Arena, if they just said you queue up for Arena or Battleground and everyone is equal, you just can play around with your numbers and your build. I mean, I would play WoW every day, I think. You know, if I didn't have to craft gear, to go to the crafting to make my gear and feel like I'm getting one shot forever until I get there. Yeah. And that would be a short-term fix for me on at least the PvP side. And
plus the solo shuffle.
Solo shuffle is cool. Yeah. I think it's a good option. I don't know what to do on the PvE side, because obviously you're not going to normalize gear. That's a part of the journey, I guess, leveling up, getting to that raid tier. But like you said, you don't know any new raiders, you know, on the scene. You know what I mean? So
WoW even had the great pruning, they called it, where they said, we've got too many abilities, we've got too much, and they pulled them back and they chopped a ton of them. But there's still so many. You know, it's still these rotations are outrageous. I find it so fascinating that we're having this conversation, that Benruki created this video, and it's caused such a stir. And Asmongold had this great reaction video to it, that it's kind of like this, whoa. Like, this is too much. Like, this is getting, it's kind of this like awakening to it. But then I loved what you said at the beginning, Tom, and this is like the third time I brought this up. I just thought it was brilliant that maybe it's just, these are old school MMOs that have been around for 20 some odd years. And these developers, you know, they got to keep changing stuff. They got to keep adding. And these new MMOs that are coming out, the new world and all that stuff, are more simplified. This Terrace Land, I got to tell you, I'm more excited now than ever before after talking to you about it. Like, I want to get into this thing, you know what I mean? It sounds awesome. So it's an interesting topic. I agree too about add-ons. It's pretty crazy when you have to play a game and then you have to have add-ons for it. Like Final Fantasy 14 does a fantastic job of telegraphing the abilities during a raid or during a dungeon. There's certain symbols that you know. You don't have any add-ons in Final Fantasy 14, but you can still conquer all of the content. And they have little warnings. And I noticed in Terrace Land when you were playing, they like announced, they're like, get away. Like,
they have built-in DBM already.
Yes.
Built-in details. You know, they've done everything for you.
Yeah, right. A-list voice acting.
Exactly. By the way, can I tell you the geekiest thing that's ever happened in my life?
Absolutely.
And it involves Deadly Boss Mods, DBM. Okay. I'm actually one of the voices in DBM.
Which one?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
If you go away, little girl.
No. If you go into the spoken alerts under things, there's you can scroll down and you'll see Coltrane as one of them. And some people have that as the default for the secondary voice. So you might have heard me. It's me going 5-4.
Yes.
Of course.
That makes sense.
I couldn't believe it. They reached out to me because I was doing convert to rate at the time. He's like, hey, do you want to like count down from 10 for me? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it was the biggest geek out moment of my entire life.
So Coltrane's a part of the problem.
Yes, that's definitely part of the problem.
That's partially burned into my brain.
Right, it is.
And
it's great. I do it during raid. Like, we'll be in the middle of a fight. I'm like, 3, 5. And everyone's like, what the heck? Like, I've wiped our group. I don't know how many times.
That is amazing. That's amazing.
That's such an epic level troll.
It's fantastic. It's been great. So yeah, there's but yeah, biggest geek out moment of my entire life is when
that's amazing.
Well, before we get out of here, let me ask you kind of another geeky question. Have you done any voice work like in other games and anything
not so much. I would love, of course, to break into it, but it's just I'm just an enjoyer of it, and I really appreciate the voice acting. You know, in Diablo 4, my gosh,
right?
Just incredible. Yeah. So, and I'll tell you though, man, like AI, it's taken some jobs. They took our jobs. I'm telling you, AI. They did. You know, it's I mainly do voiceover stuff for movie trailers and previews and stuff. And it's just kind of been a side gig, but it's been going great. It's been a lot of fun, and it's something that's really awesome. Cool to do. And the key to voiceover is pretty much scotch and regret. That's pretty much the key. Scotch and a whole lot of regret, and you're good to go. So for anyone aspiring VO, scotch plus regret
I guess too, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to plug, Coltrane? Are you working on stuff? Any trailers that you've done recently? Or I know you mentioned some other podcasts you might be doing. Anything that?
Yeah, sure. I'm doing a fun podcast. I'm looking at 2023 as the year of yes. And
how about the year
of
yeah?
Yeah, exactly, which is very relevant to this. But I'm doing a podcast, believe it or not, about wrestling, and it's called Wrestling is for Losers, and it's with my old podcast host, Shoe Boots, and this other great guy named Texas Crazy Horse, and I raid with both of them. And the premise is Shoe Boots loves AEW wrestling. Texas Crazy Horse loves WWE wrestling. And I'm the guy that watched it as a kid back in the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant days, Macho Man Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, and didn't watch for 30 plus years. And I'm now coming back and watching it for the first time. And is it outrageous or is it amazing? And it's kind of amazing. So I've been really enjoying it, and it's been a great journey. So it's just been fun. Like, you know, doing a wrestling podcast, why not? You know, yes. And I got to go to the Double or Nothing event in Las Vegas, which was a ton of fun. Just screaming, you know, for, you know, wrestling, you know, and I'll tell you something. I know not to talk about wrestling, but watching it as an adult, these guys are athletes. I mean, this is insane what they're putting themselves through. You have a different level of appreciation watching the wrestlers. Now, of course, you know, it's predetermined and all that stuff, but man, they are working out there. So it's been a lot of fun. So it's called Wrestling is for Losers. It's been a total blast to do. So it's been good.
Well, Coltrane, thank you for making 2023 the year of yes, because you agreed to come on here with us. And we are, man, what a treat, man. We're so grateful.
Seriously, it is a treat.
I've been a fan for a long time of Convert to Raid and some of the other stuff. And so, man, what an awesome thing to have you on here, man. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you
very much. Fun presence, man. I love it. It's just,
I appreciate that. And
just joyous. You bring a lot of happy feelings to.
Thank you.
It's been
an honor. Thank you so much for reaching out and for letting me be on this, man. I love your guys' show. I love your content. I love everything you guys are doing. And it's just fantastic. And this has been so much fun. Just like hanging out, like talking WoW, talking MMOs. Yeah. Like, it's been great. So
that's why we did it. We're going to have these conversations regardless. So we might as well put it out
That's
there.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely. Awesome. And we do.
So thank you for having me on. Yeah. It's been great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. And I'll just say, everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Go check out Coltrane's podcast, Wrestling is for Losers, of course. And then give us a like and subscribe if you like this kind of stuff. And we'll keep doing it. We'll see you guys next time.